Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Friday, the 9th of January, year of our Lord 2026. Well, Donald Trump has another idea to make housing affordable. This idea is even worse than the 50-year mortgage. We're going to talk about that to start the show. But there's also been new developments in the Minnesota shooting. Trump was actually confronted with a video that he apparently had never seen before. It didn't stop him from fabricating stories like a cross between a hallucinating AI and a fabulous George Santos. Is the right missing something here? I think they are. I think we see a police state that is growing around us in leaps and bounds, and federal militarized police. That, folks, is the issue. It's bigger than the left-right tribalism. It's bigger than the border issue or immigration. And that's what is being missed here. I've got a response to a listener who was extremely angry with my take on this murder, and I still believe it was murder, and I'll show you why. We'll be right back. Well, before we get into updates on this situation, and I think this is very important, it reveals not only the character of the Trump administration, but also the character of our country. And I think there's some very dangerous precedents that are being set here. And I think that if a police state, surveillance state, comes to us, and it is coming to us, it'll be furthered most effectively by those on the right who believe in law and order, except no law, no order, for the government. They're the ones who give the order. They're the ones who make up the law and then ignore it for themselves. But before I begin, I want to address something that I've had here for a while. It was a letter and a contribution, a generous contribution. Thank you, Thomas, and for this. And he had asked me just before Christmas, he asked me about what I had done for the stroke. And because he's been having difficulty recovering from it, and I thought it might be useful for a lot of other people, but also because I was going to write him back, but Thomas, if you're listening, I haven't been able to find the envelope that you wrote, so I'm still looking for that. Karen is looking for it. If you want to send me an email, I'll be happy to try to give you some references for some of the things, but let me just go over it real quickly, and I'll say this, that even though I said this is Friday the 9th, this is actually the evening, the late night of Thursday the 8th, I got really fired up preparing this show, and I didn't want to wait to do it. And also, I thought it might help me a little bit to have a three-day weekend. So we're going to do the show early, and I wanted to mention that because if you're here leaving comments, I'm not ignoring you. Feel free to have your discussions. We have a great community here. And feel free to criticize me if you disagree with me, but I won't be responding today, not because I'm ignoring you or because I'm angry about anything you say. But let me just repeat what he had to say here. He said, I'd like to ask you a favor. In the fall of 24, I suffered a stroke. The most damage was done to my left hand. When it first happened, my left arm hung limp, and I could not make a fist. I have slowly gained use of it, but my hand and fingers act on their own. I play guitar. I'm so sorry, yeah. That is an issue still for me, playing a keyboard. So I wish you would do a segment detailing what treatments you found effective with motor skills or finger control. I have not sought medical, help because I believe in first do no pharma, which I believe as well. Well, let me just say, we tried a lot of different things. I'll tell you what we tried, but let me say first of all, and, I think he knows this, and so please keep him in your prayers because I think that is the most important thing that we can do. We treat these things, but God heals. Now, oftentimes he will use ordinary means, bringing our attention to some ordinary means, things that might help. And certainly it is not a lack of faith to try these things, but understand that God is the one who heals. And so, Thomas, we're praying for you, and I'd like for the audience to pray for him as well. But I'll just say, and maybe you can help me, Lance, remember some of the things that we did so many things as we did with Lance. It's hard to say, single out any one thing. With the exception of one thing, and that was the methylene blue, red light therapy. That seemed to help my tongue more than anything else. And that was not so much the stroke directly. That was a result of the operation. That damaged my vocal cords as well as the hypoglossal nerve under my tongue. And I was having a hard time even swallowing without choking, let alone talking. And so we tried the ethylene blue because we had read some research that people had found that was very effective right after a stroke. Less effective as time goes on, but still something that you might want to try. Of all the things that we did, that was the only thing that I felt an immediate change on. And again, that was not directly the stroke. That was because of my tongue. I put the methylene blue under my tongue, used red light therapy there. We had gotten some red light therapy for Karen's knee, and there were some small things that were removable and chargeable that had a harness that would go around your knee, so it would hit it in three different areas. And it had a lot of reviews of people saying that it was very effective in terms of controlling pain, and it was for Karen. So I thought, let me try that as well with the methylene blue. And I just took one of those things that popped out, and I just stuck it in my mouth and left it there, and it made a big difference, really did. So there's some things like that. We also did, because know that vitamin C injections help quite a bit, we did some of that. We actually did some hyperbaric oxygen tent thing that was here in the area, and we did some of those as well. And other than that, I just took regular supplements to try to, he's putting his hand up. I can't think of anything really other than that we did. It was a very slow process, and I still have a lot of issues with things that I can't do. Fortunately, I can read and speak, and I guess that's about all I need to be able to do. So that has not affected my reason. Never did affect my reason, but it did affect my speech a great deal. So Thomas will be praying for you. And if you want to correspond with the email that's on the website, I'll be looking for your email. We'll try to find that. But let me get into the news here. I said Trump has got a new policy that he thinks is going to make housing more affordable, perhaps. I don't think it'll do that at all. I think this is a bad idea, just like the 50-year mortgage. We talked about that. That only makes that's going to make a lot more money for the banks, but it'll keep you indebted your entire life. I mean, a 50-year mortgage is going to be longer than most people's working career, even if people are buying homes at a much younger age. And, of course, it's almost all going to be interest when you make it such a long period of time. So Trump's new idea is to ban corporations from buying homes. And look, we don't want to see, you know, BlackRock and all these other companies taking owning all the housing so that we own nothing and we have to rent everything. However, it has consequences when you do things without constitutional authority, when you usurp authority. And there is no constitutional authority for this in the first place. In the second place, it's not going to be effective. Think about what this is going to do. Is this going to help anybody buy a home to say that that corporations can't buy homes? How is?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Is that possibly going to work? This is sheer demagoguery at best. But the reality is that he's going to dry up some of the buyers in the housing market. It doesn't make it easier for young people to buy homes. It makes it more difficult for older people to be able to sell their homes because we're not adding affordability to any of this. And especially when it is government policy that has been one of the biggest drivers of making homes unaffordable, both the massive debt, which he has done everything, you know, here he is. One minute he's saying, well, we need to go to $1.5 trillion military budget. And the next one, you know, we can't afford homes anymore. I wonder why that is. You know, maybe you could really get rid of the income tax as you've hinted so many times, but I know you're not going to do it. And I've said that over and over again. I still have these diehard MAGA people wanting it to be true. They're going to pretend that it's going to be true. But it's not going to be true. He's not going to get rid of the income tax. And they're not going to get rid of a lot of the structural problems that are making it difficult for businesses to be profitable, for people to have good income, to control inflation. None of that stuff is going to happen. There's so many impediments that are coming from the government, some of them direct, some of them indirect. You know, you have government regulations that are driving up the price of everything, whether it's cars or homes or anything else. And then, of course, government inflation and the massive snowball of debt that is hanging over our heads like the sword of Damocles. That is going to burst. And the question is, which area is it going to burst in first? Is it going to be with Europe or is it going to be with America first? You know, who gets squeezed with this massive debt squeeze that's going to take out the currencies? There's a lot of really bad things on the horizon, and that is the real issue. This is just moving the deck chairs around on the Titanic, and not even that. It's taking away some of the deck chairs. Again, it doesn't help anything. The people who are trying to get into the market, doesn't help them at all. It just takes some buyers off of the market. And I understand where this is supposed to, again, the end goal and the intention, well, we don't want all the homes owned by BlackRock. Well, I share that. But is this the way that you do it? Or do you empower the middle class by taking power and money away from Washington? Everything that Donald Trump has done is about consolidating more power, more money into Washington. He brags about his tariffs bringing in $600 billion. You know, previously, the largest tax increase was, unsurprisingly, from FDR. And if you look at that and then normalize it to the devaluation of the dollar, that was about a $200 billion tax increase that FDR did. Trump is bragging about a $600 billion tax increase with tariffs, three times the amount. And so at least a third of that, I would say even more than that, is not coming from foreign sources or corporations or whatever. And if it is, they're going to have to put it in their product and service cost, or they're going to go out of business. But again, he's not doing anything to attack the root cause of the problems. He said the American dream is increasingly out of reach for far too many people, especially younger Americans. Yes, that's right. I immediately am taking steps to ban large institutional investors from buying more single-family homes. Again, ignoring all the causes that are, most of these are by government. Many of them, most of them, I would say, are by the federal government as well. Again, he's just going to harm the marketplace for sellers without even helping the buyers. It's another horrible idea from the administration that came up with 50-year mortgage. This is perhaps the the dumbest administration of my life. Except that, as some people have said, you know, if they were merely stupid, they would every once in a while do the right thing. They don't do the right thing. And of course, as we talked about this 50-year mortgage previously, Laura Ingraham confronted him about it, and then he backs off. Well, it's not even a big deal. I mean, you know, you go from 40 years to 50 years. He said, no, you go from 30 years to 50 years. He's probably never had to take out a home loan mortgage. He's taken out big loans for his businesses and then went bankrupt with them. But I doubt that he ever had to take out a mortgage for a home that he ever bought. He probably paid cash for every single one of them, you know, from the money that his daddy gave him to later on. But again, he goes, oh, from 30 to 50, whatever. Blackstone's stock cratered after Trump talked about a ban on them buying single-family homes. Again, does he have the authority to do this? Does anybody in Washington have the authority to do this? I would say they don't. But yet again, what we see is it's not going to stop him from doing something like this. I don't know exactly how he plans on getting this through. The U.S. president said last month he is planning to unveil some of the most aggressive housing reform plans in American history in the coming year. You know, 50-year mortgage, bans on buyers, institutional buyers, great, big improvement. The Department of Justice is flouting the law on the Epstein file, so why isn't Pam Bondi in handcuffs? Writes the Free Thought Project. And actually, it's a Libertarian Institute article. And they're absolutely right. These are the same people, however, that are going to be investigating what happened in Minnesota. Do you expect that they are going to be honest in this evaluation? Do you think that, can you trust corrupt Cash Patel in this? I don't think so. I don't think there's going to be any accountability. Again, you have on the one hand the Minnesota Democrats and their corruption. And on the other hand, you have the abuse of ICE, and it is, all of this is going to be a way to distract people, along with the Vinnie Nam that's going on. It's what I call the Venezuela stuff. All that is going to be a way to distract people from the Epstein files, I think, which, again, is not just a salacious tale. This is not just a redo of Bill Clinton and his scandals. This is something that is very structural because it reveals what's going on with the CIA and with Mossad and how they blackmail people. And it also tells us something about the culture and the corruption of Washington. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back in a second. We're going to talk about what is happening in Minnesota, and I'm going to give you the update. I had somebody who was extremely angry with me over my take on it. I'm going to show you some other videos I didn't show you. And I've got one video that is the supposedly the proof video of people saying that he acted in self-defense. It's the one that is very, very far away. very difficult to see. It has frequently been put out in a sped-up version. I have, however, I'm going to show you the regular video, and then I'm going to show it to you at 50%, and then I'm going to show it to you at 10%. I took some time to go through and upscale the resolution, as well as to use optical flow out of DaVinci to smooth out the frame rates. Once you slow it down, it starts to get very jerky. So I've smoothed that out. So I think you'll be able to see this. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
I said before that I think we're missing the forest for the trees, and it's a forest of surveillance that is there. ICE has just purchased a tool to monitor phones of entire neighborhoods. This is geospatial intelligence taken to a new level. It's kind of interesting. The company that does this calls themselves PinLink, and it is really a reference to the PIN IDs that were used by the phone companies going back to the middle of the 20th century when surveillance first began without warrants. That was the CIA, the NSA, that were doing that, and the court decisions that allowed them to do that said, well, you can keep these PIN numbers, and that's information that belongs to the phone companies. And these people have turned over this information. It now belongs to the phone companies. It doesn't belong to them. It's information about you because you use their services. But that's their information, and they can give it to the government if they wish. And the government doesn't need to have a search warrant if somebody's going to voluntarily give them that information. So this company actually leans into that and actually uses that as its name, PinLink. And so commercial location data, in this case acquired from hundreds of millions of phones via a company called PenLink, can be queried without a warrant, according to an internal ICE legal analysis shared with 404 Media. The purchase comes squarely during ICE's mass deportation effort and continued crackdown to on protected speech, alarming civil libertarians, experts, and raising questions on what exactly ICE will use the surveillance system for. And what is different about this one is it's not only geospatial intelligence, which, as I said many times, that is the hallmark of the started building the geospatial intelligence organizations. That's where James Clapper rose up, was through geospatial intelligence. They would have, before the COVID thing, they were having annual conventions drawing in about 4,000 people. It was pretty large. And it was the fastest growing part of the intelligence community, geospatial intelligence. And it was something that the CIA, as well as all the intelligence agencies, wanted to get into venture capital so they could help to fund these social media companies. And this particular one doesn't just look at your phone information. It cross-correlates that with your social media activities as well. And that's why they went with this company. There's other companies that do this. They're the only ones that combine it with your social media. Think about how that's going to be used. It'll track the movements of devices and their owners over time, follow them from their place of work to their home or other locations, and see who they are interacting with. This has always been the hallmark of geospatial intelligence, to infer from the metadata what your political, excuse me, what your political beliefs are, what your political beliefs are, and other things like your religious beliefs as well. This is a very dangerous tool in the hands of an out-of-control agency. The granular location information paints a detailed picture of who we are, where we go, and who we spend time with. This week, the Department of Homeland Security started deploying as many as 2,000 officers in Minneapolis. But in September, 404 Media reported on ICE's planned purchase of the technology, consisting of two PenLink products called Tangles and WebLock. 404 Media has now obtained material that explains in greater detail how the system works. WebLock users can search its database of mobile phone data in various ways. Users can perform a single perimeter analysis, so you can geofence it. You can say, I want to get details of all the phones that are in this area. We've already seen that happen on January the 6th. Remember that? How that worked? This is what is so amazing to me. Conservatives have just been through this rodeo with Joe Biden. They know how they can be singled out and attacked when you give these kinds of powers to the government, and yet they are rushing full long into letting the Trump administration have free rein to do this and to set all new levels and all new precedents of this. And so they can, WebLock users identified a device of interest, they can get more details about that particular phone, by extension, its owner, by seeing where else it has traveled, both locally and across the country. Users can click a route feature, which shows the path that the device has taken. If users look at where the device was located at night, that's probably your home. During the day, the person's possible employer. And again, it all goes back to your big brother phone, doesn't it? That is the key device for all of this. The software can do a multi-perimeter analysis, which monitors multiple locations at once to see which devices have been present at two or more specific places. So this type of surveillance dragnet will enable draconian policing and abuse. You better be careful in terms of cheering the police with all this stuff. Understand that these government-manufactured problems, and the border is a government-manufactured problem, it's a problem that Donald Trump let run wild as well while he was president the first term. Then they come in with a solution. And over again, we see the solutions being offered by conservatives, by Republicans. Take, for example, in Florida, DeSantis and the Republican Party. Now, well, we got a lot of illegal immigrants who are coming in, taking people's jobs, so we're going to have mandatory E-Verify. You're going to have to prove your credentials. You're going to have a government ID and be able to prove your credentials in order to have a job, to be able to work. Or you have the other approach where, okay, we've got some harmful websites out there for children. So the government is going to make you have an ID, or we have people who are saying mean things anonymously. Can't allow that to happen. And the conservatives are just as bad about that as the liberals are. I mean, look at Jordan Peterson, for example. He wants to end anonymity on the internet. And so we can't have anonymity, and we have to be concerned about what children can get into because, you know, far be it from parents to cut off their access to the internet or to police that. So we're going to pretend that if you've got ID requirements, that kids won't be able to get around it. And so they use protecting children as a means of putting in an ID to use the internet, and on and on. And so it's always going to be a government problem that they then, well, seems like the solution to every government problem is to have an ID for people to be able to track and to surveil us. Doesn't that seem to be always the solution for all of this stuff? A draconian police state. This is why people need to understand the danger that is there. And be very concerned about the militarized, federalized police. I want to see the borders controlled. I would like to see illegal immigrants deported. But not the way this is being done. This is being done in a confrontational way. This is being done to enable and to spread a cancer of militarized police state. And so the fact is that they can use this to anticipate crime and all the rest of these things. There's a tremendous amount of abuse that can be done with this. And we've already seen this happen, and it happened to conservatives. But they got the attention span of a fruit fly. It's amazing to me. It's, you know, they've just been through this whole rodeo with Joe Biden coming after the January 6th people. And the January 6th people really still don't understand how they were betrayed by Trump. They don't see the principles that are being laid out in terms of the police state and how this stuff was abused by Biden. And guess what? There will be another Biden. There will be another Obama. There will be another Hillary. What are they going to do with these powers that you are so trusting of that you want to give them to Donald Trump? Well, ICE paid nearly $2 million for access to one of these programs, Tangles. Additional licenses in December for another $312,000. WebBlock is not a unique capability in terms of the location data industry. A former employee of a similar company called Babel Street previously told me that users can draw a shape on a map to see all of the devices that Babel Street has for that location, then see where else that device has been. But the ICE document indicated that the agency chose PinLink over its competitors because the company provides an all-in-one tool for searching both masses of location data off of phones and information from social media. Under long-standing Supreme Court precedent, an individual has no reasonable expectation of privacy under the Fourth Amendment in information voluntarily disclosed to third parties. Is what their analysis said. And again, this goes back to the PIN numbers. And this is something that the government has been doing since the 1950s. And it's why we had the church hearing, the church committee hearing over the CIA, as well as the Pike committee hearing in the House, looking at what the NSA was doing. In both those cases, what they were concerned about was the warrantless searching of Americans. And that's what we got out of those two things was the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that was supposed to stop them from doing warrantless searches on Americans in America unless they had a warrant. Where did they get the warrant? From the FISA court. It was a gigantic loophole that did more to further domestic surveillance than it did to prevent it. And we see this happening over and over again. And of course they distracted the public's attention by talking about the CIA's assassinations and coups and their heart attack guns and all the rest of this stuff. Well, the Trump administration says it's illegal to record videos of ICE. Isn't that interesting? They are going to be monitoring everybody and trying to draw conclusions about everybody using this kind of software. But don't you dare record them, right? Well, Reason says, here's what the law says, however. And so the Trump administration believes that you don't have the right to record ICE officers in public. Isn't that interesting? This is kind of the, when you look at it, it's okay to shoot people, shoot dogs, I guess, if you're Christy Noem as well. That's okay. But video taping them is violence. That's what Christy Noem says. Violence is anything that threatens them and their safety. So it is doxing them. It is videotaping them where they're at when they're out on operations, she says. So, again, your videotaping or your observing them is violence. It's very much like the left wing's idea that speech is violence, and so we have to censor you, right? Now, if you observe these people who are in public areas, they say that everything that you do in public, they can record, they can make assumptions about, and they can come after you for that. But don't you dare record them. Well, this is all both factually wrong and an attempt to chill free speech by conflating it with violence. This is the conservative version of the left saying that hate speech has to be controlled. At a July 2025 press conference in Tampa, Florida, Christy Noem said, violence is anything that threatens them and their safety, doxing them, videotaping them, where they're at, on operations. So in September 2025, her Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs, Tricia McLaughlin, said that videotaping ICE law enforcement and posting photos and videos of them online is a form of doxing. We will prosecute those who illegally harass ICE agents to the fullest extent of the law, she said. Again, this is the same rationale that the left has for its hate speech.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
By the way, I think we've got a picture of the murderer here. Let's see. Here we are right here. No, that's the actual murder itself. This is a picture of the murderer. Right there. Come and get me! That's the guy that cold-blooded murdered her, and look at the expression on his face. I'm disgusted with these people. Yeah, come and get me, Christy Noem. It's amazing. Well, these are not idle threats. The Trump administration strong-armed Apple into removing an app from its mobile store that tracked ICE activity. Now, the most aggressive application of this policy has come in Chicago, what they call Operation Midway Blitz, where ICE officers have relentlessly targeted protesters, reporters, and clergy engaged in protected First Amendment activity. In October, a group of journalists and protesters filed a lawsuit alleging a pattern of extreme brutality in a concerted and ongoing effort to silence the press as well as the public. When ICE field director Russell Hott was asked if he agreed that it's unconstitutional to arrest people for being opposed to Midway Blitz, he said, "No, no. If you're opposed to this, we will arrest you." Similarly, the Border Protection Commissioner, Greg Bovino, testified that he had instructed his officers to arrest protesters who make hyperbolic comments in the heat of political demonstrations, even though such statements, which do not constitute true threats, are protected speech. Hott and Bovino's depositions were filed under seal, and those comments were later redacted in a corrected filing by the lawsuit plaintiffs, but not before others took screenshots of them. And, of course, we've seen this type of thing happen before with the TSA admitting that there was no threat to planes or airports. At the same time, they're trying to turn Texas into a no-fly zone for opposing their naked body scanners and their pat-downs of children. And so these two guys said one thing in their depositions, and then they tried to redact these comments. By the way, I'll just say in passing, isn't it interesting that this ICE guy's name is Hott? Hott with two T's. So, so Judge Sarah Ellis in Chicago issued a preliminary injunction against DHS in early November, saying the government's conduct, quote, shocked the conscience. She also found that the official's testimony was not credible. In other words, they were lying. Bovino, for example, testified that he had never used force against a protester that he was filmed tackling. So that's a problem for Kristi Noem and for Bovino and for Trump. We got the videotape of you guys. He also lied about being hit with a rock before firing tear gas at demonstrators. This is something else that we saw at January the 6th, isn't it? What is it about MAGA that they can't get their head around this? You know, but now they love everything that the police do. They can do no wrong. So describing rapid response networks and neighborhood moms as professional agitators shows just how out of touch these agents are and how extreme their views are, said the judge. The Trump administration responded by calling the judge an activist. But it is squarely wrong when it comes to recording and protesting the police. Cato Institute senior fellow Walter Olson points out that while the Supreme Court itself has not yet faced the issue squarely, seven federal circuit courts have done so, and all of them agreed the First Amendment protects the right to record police performing their duties in public. Folks, this is just common sense as well as common law. It's not hard to find examples of rotten agency culture in practice. In October, for example, ICE officers broke out the window of a U.S. citizen's car and detained her for 7 hours after she followed and photographed their unmarked vehicles. DHS accused her of reckless driving, attempting to block in officers with her car, and of resisting arrest. All claims that she and her lawyer deny. Prosecutors did not even charge the woman with a crime. They didn't believe it. And again, they don't mention it in this article, but there was the guy who was following them around with a car and videotaping what they were doing, and they chased him and rammed him with their car. Recording government agents is one of the few tools that citizens have to hold power accountable. Any attempt to redefine observation as violence is not only unconstitutional, it is authoritarian gaslighting. When a government fears cameras more than crimes, that's what we're looking at here. And so with that as background, as I said, I got an angry email from somebody that I've not noticed before commenting. Somebody who calls himself Flower Child saying that I lost viewers today by being wrong. And this is what, I'm assuming it's a woman, the name of Flower Child, that's what she said. She said, you can clearly see in the video, the guy was in front of the vehicle when he drew his gun and the woman floored it at him. What would you have done? Well, first of all, I would have gotten out of the way, but I wouldn't shoot at a car like an idiot, because since 1972, as I pointed out yesterday, since 1972, New York Police Department, many others have said it's foolish to do this. And we'll get into that again. But anyway, she says, you can clearly see the guy bounce off the car as she hits him. Sorry, but no. He's still standing on his feet. He's not bouncing on the floor. He didn't get run over. He didn't bounce off the car. He was not injured at all. And he was not threatened at the point that he shot her. At the point he shot her, he was at the side of the car. And you can see that from the curved side of the windshield. There's no way that he would have hit her in the head from that angle, and you can see where the bullet hole went in there. He was not directly square in front of the car. And you can also see, if you look at it, you can see that she's got the wheels turned. If she wanted to run over him, she could have easily have done that by not turning the wheels. You know, I've driven a car before. I know how that thing works. Have you ever driven a car before? Do you know how that works? Anyway, she said, so I suggest that you do some kind of a retraction. You're really pissing off your fans. And she says, I know that you always want to distance yourself from Alex Jones, but I switched over to Alex when you pissed me off this morning, and he has the full video showing you you're wrong. Well, I showed all the videos except the one that Megyn Kelly had, and probably the one that Alex Jones has. They chose the one that was furthest away, the one that's the most difficult to see, because then you will go with their narrative, their interpretation of this, instead of your lying eyes. Hit with a car, you know, so I don't think that really is the issue here. I've been listening for many years, but I'm probably not going to come back. Well, that's too bad. But as I said to her, I responded because it was an email. I said, well, perhaps you didn't stick around to hear that since 1972, the New York Police Department and many other police departments across the country have found that firing into a car is reckless, ineffective, and dangerous to bystanders and other officers for a number of reasons. I stand by what we can clearly see in the videos and the gunshots made into the side of the car, meaning...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
That he was not at danger of being run over if he's beside the car. The officer wasn't even knocked down. He was later walking and smirking. Force was used excessively, recklessly, and fatally. You should be ashamed of yourself for excusing it. Please show me the video that matches what Trump and Noam said. The officers were stuck in the snow. The shooter was run over, hospitalized. Please show me that video. I said, you'll be happier watching Alex Jones. He cares so much about viewership that he'll tell people what they want to hear rather than what is true. You might want to think about where this bullying police state is going to end up, especially under the Democrats. Rather than focusing on strengthening the rule of law, Trump is undermining it and promoting more conflict, deliberately provoking it. Alex Jones promotes war now because Trump has aligned himself with a deep state CIA agenda. Hopefully you won't let Alex pick your pocket and set you up for another entrapment like he did people on January the 6th. I stand by my comments. I stand against militarized police by the federal government. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at this, we're going to talk about somebody being run over. Here's ICE hitting a protester and just keeps going. Look at this. Is that a problem? Is that a problem for you to see that? Now see, that guy was, or woman was knocked down. This officer was not even knocked down. She wasn't moving very fast when they made contact. And I suggest that it was as much his fault as hers that there was contact even made. Can't hear you, Lance. Put your mic on. Don't hear you yet. Well, let me work on that. And while you do, let me show you the one angle that I didn't show yesterday, because I didn't think that it was very informative. It was difficult to see. And the other ones actually show the whole situation much better. So let's see. This is the one that I think does. This is what I showed yesterday. And I think it shows it pretty clearly. You can actually hear the sound, so you can see where the officer was at the time that he fired the shots as well. Now look, he's off to the side. Fires a shot there. He's no longer in danger. He's off to the side. There's more shots being fired as he's clearly off to the side. Even the first shot that he fired there, he was off to the side. Yeah, let's, sorry. Here we go. Now watch this. Even when he fires the first shot, he is no longer in front of the car. See the wheel turned? First shot. Another shot. Okay, here. What were you saying, Lance? I'll tell everybody since I can't hear your microphone. What's up?
Can you hear it now?
No, I don't hear it now.
Okay.
I got it. Now I got it. Yeah,
can you hear it now?
Yeah.
All right. It looks like he might have... So if you look at his feet, he jumps back. I don't know if he hit like an elbow against the rearview mirror, but you can see that his feet were clear of it even before he jumps back.
Yeah, that's right.
I think a lot of the people that say that he was hit, he might have hit, again, just his arms against the mirror, but it looks to me like that they're seeing him jumping back and thinking that it's him getting hit.
He is not being attacked by her. She's not trying to run him down. She turned the wheels. And he shot her from the side. End of story. But I'll show the other clip that everybody is so key about. And I think I've got a better visual of this. I've got it first here at regular speed, then we'll show it at 50% speed, then at 10% speed, and I've upped the resolution to 4K. It was actually 720. So here's that video. This is a very distant video. As you can see, and this is what everybody is looking at. They can tell you, oh, so this is what you're seeing, and it's not what you're seeing. Now, here it is at 50%, and I've enlarged it a bit. Okay, there he is there. And this is now at 10% speed. And I've noticed that a lot of people put this out at, I sped it up. So it looks more violent. But this is going to be at 10% speed, so you can see where this is. And I don't think that this is a smoking gun for their side. I think that I stand by my analysis. You can see for yourself. Make up your own decision. I just think that this is over the top. As a matter of fact... one of the things that's bothered me about all this stuff, this is going very slow. This is at 10%, and you can see what's going on. His life is not in danger, and he shot her from the side. So this particular guy, Grant Stinchfield, He's got a radio show and a podcast or something. He's got a little slogan that he wants you to follow, right? Just like we hear all the time, click it or ticket. Got these little rhyming slogans so the police can memorize it and threaten you with it. Well, his is, show your hands, obey commands. Isn't that great? Don't you want to do that? Dumb and threatening. Yeah, show your hands, obey the commands. As a matter of fact, here's what he has to say.
I can prove to you in 45 seconds that this ICE-involved shooting was 100% justified in Minnesota. Take a look.
100% justified, you say.
See two ICE agents clearly giving her commands to stop where she is.
Oh, obey those commands.
At any moment, if she did, she would still be alive today.
That's her fault. She didn't obey the police like a slave.
Clearly in front of her vehicle, a deadly weapon now used as a ramming rod. His only choice was to fire at the suspect. Now, if we watch at full speed.
Now here's their favorite clip.
You can see that split-second decisions are made. They are life and death decisions. Any reasonable person on a jury would see that that officer's life was in danger, and he had no choice but to act. Anybody saying that he had time to shoot the tires out is utterly ridiculous.
What's your problem?
Here. Okay, how's it going?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah, just obey your command. Obey.
Thank you, sir.
Show us your hands. Obey our commands. That's it. That's what they want you to know. Grant, I think you're pathetic. That is really shameful. So I'm a slave now, right? I have to do whatever the overseers on the plantation tell me, or they're entitled to kill me. Is that where we're at now? Show your hands. Obey the commands. Well, I guess the question is, do the police have any rules that they have to obey? I guess not, right? Not according to Grant Snitchfield. There's no rules that they have to obey. Well, Megan Bashan put up the SOMO video that I showed you before and said, I'm going to post this 1,000 times as the Democrats try to erase what we can all see with our eyes. Officers instructing a driver to exit the car and the driver accelerating straight at an officer.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Again, the fact that she has to say that this is the Democrats doing it. And look, there is a there's a strong Hegelian blindness that is going on both of these sides, right? A lot of people are opposing it simply because they're Democrats. This is a tribal perspective that people are taking. But I don't share their position on immigration control. But I'm concerned about an out-of-control police and police that are never held accountable for these things, for police that are doing stupid things that even other police say are stupid and reckless and dangerous things to do. And just as we saw with this individual, the acceleration happened after she was killed. Because as the New York police said, if you actually are able to shoot somebody and you don't shoot through the car and injure other officers or innocent bystanders, if you actually do shoot the person, they're just as likely to put their foot on the accelerator as they are on the brake, and you have a runaway unguided missile, which is what that car turned into. And so I said, please do share this over and over again, because your video shows the wheel turned away from him and shows him recklessly firing into the side of the car that he is not in danger from. And again, all the stuff that I just said about how this is a very bad policy for the police to follow. Please keep posting this video. People need to see with their eyes, not with the lies that are being told about what they're actually seeing. You know, take a look at this. Instead of, don't you listen to my analysis. Take a look at it and make up your own mind. But ask yourself, do we really want to have unrestrained, federalized police? I don't think so, because when we look at what they're doing elsewhere, look at this. Really? This is at the memorial. Look at this guy. Deliberately provoking what? This fat what? Pig.
Do you know what that is for? What is that for? What is that for?
Back up.
What is that for?
Back up.
You're going to push me? What is that for?
Back up.
What was that for? You don't give a f***? This what? Is why we're here.
Back up.
This is why we're here.
Back up.
What's her name? What? Renee Good?
What? Back up.
And you... That's a memorial to her. That's a memorial to her.
Yeah, just obey. Just obey. That's right. You know, that cop goes over there and starts kicking through the memorial.
At the end of the day, it was completely avoidable if she would have simply followed the commands of the ICE agents. But what really is more disturbing to me is Governor Walz's comments about using the National Guard to keep the federal government ICE agents out of his state. He has now gone full Jefferson Davis, and that's what I would call civil war.
Yeah, just obey. You know, and everybody needs to obey the federal government. We need to have federalized police. We don't want to have any state powers. All powers need to be concentrated in Washington, according to that congressman there. And you should just do as you're told. When you look at that cop, he was deliberately trying to provoke those people, coming over like a schoolyard bully and bumping into the guy and saying, back up, back up, back up, just hoping that the guy would push back. This is the kind of people that they are hiring for the federal police. Yeah, don't question authority. Just watch TV.
Of domestic terrorism. What happened was our ICE officers were out in enforcement action. They got stuck in the snow because of the adverse weather that is in Indianapolis. They were attempting to push out their vehicle, and a woman attacked them and those surrounding them and attempted to run them over and ram them with her vehicle.
What's your problem?
Sir.
Okay, how's it going?
Fine, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, this is a bigger issue, folks, than the immigration policy. This is a bigger issue than the fact that this woman apparently had a wife now, that she was part of the LGBT. That's not the issue here. This is a bigger issue than that. It's not about her identity politics. It's not about your identity politics. It's not about politics in general. This is about the unrestrained use of force and cheering for that. It's absolutely disgusting to see what's going on in this country. And this kind of bullying that you saw with that cop, again.
Really? You know, that's what you're going to do?
What?
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 What? Do you know what that is for?
Back up.
What is that for?
Back up.
What is
Why does he have to back up?
What is that for?
Back up.
You're going to push him? What is that for?
Back up.
What was that for? You don't give a fuck?
Yeah. Obey me. Obey me. Show me your hands and obey me. That's what you're being sold. This is like, it's like a kind of brainwashing from conservative media. People like Grant Snitchfield, so forth. Yeah, the, as a matter of fact, later on in They Live, you see the, massive raid of the police. This isn't all that much different than what we're seeing now. All these dystopian movies of the 1980s now happening in real life. Because this is what it looks like in real life.
Looking at live pictures from our reporters on the ground in St. Paul, Ryan Young, you can see him in the camera image right there. But this is a confrontation and seems to be flaring up once again of federal law enforcement officers confronting with protesters who had been outside a facility blocking, Ryan Young reports, at some point blocking the movement of cars. Let me, Lieutenant Governor, if you could hang on with me just one second. I want to check in with Ryan Young. Ryan, what's the latest?
So they identified somebody they wanted in this crowd. They aggressively went after them. They pushed their way in. Now they're shooting pepper balls toward the crowd to keep everyone back. We don't know why they decided to go after this gentleman. There was a bunch of people standing still. And then all of a sudden, they ran in and tried to grab him. This created a situation, as we move a little closer here, where they're putting the handcuffs on this guy right here. Now this guy's trying to get involved, so they're going to take him down as we speak. the pepper ball spray is very strong. They use that to make sure that the crowd stays back. So one of the problems that we see is that some of the protesters are standing behind the media members. You see how upset people are getting, and you see how angry folks are. This crowd is on the edge when it comes to the tactics that are being used. We are not sure why they decided to identify this man as someone they needed to take into custody, but obviously this is the second person that they have gone after into this crowd. There were a lot of women who got pushed down to the ground, which made more of the men in the crowd get upset and push back. We saw a physical confrontation where a man put two hands and shoved one of the agents in the chest. That made the agents respond with more force. And as you can hear the crowd now saying, shame. But at least they've stopped shooting pepper balls at this point, which really, and they're taking this man away right now. So as you see this, they've actually asked now they're pushing again. This is really, they're firing more pepper balls. So as you see that smoke coming back our direction, I got you, Effie. I have my arm around our photographer here because this crowd is shifting on this ice. There's a lot of pushing and shoving and people are very angry. We have some people opening their jackets and saying,
hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
They shoot me here, and that now they're pulling back the man they arrested in this direction over here, falling back to the gate that we talked about before. They also have bear spray as well that they're using. Look at this right here. They're going after someone else. So you can feel the anger of this crowd. People want to hit these agents. Some people started throwing snowballs at them. This agent obviously fell and had to be retrieved by his fellow agents as they pulled him back. So this is all unfolding as the anger continues here.
Yeah. First the shooting, then the lies. There's a lot we don't know about the shooting of Renee and Nicole Good, but in the chaotic aftermath of the shooting, one thing becomes immediately clear. The Trump administration was lying about what happened. And, you know, this is really kind of a hallmark of government, isn't it? Look at this clip. This is kind of funny because this is not about a life or death thing. This is a Canadian official who is talking about how efficiently everything is operating. And as she's speaking, the cameraman slowly pans up to the board that shows all the delayed and canceled flights.
Is there any sort of work being done too with the airlines in order to get flights actually on time or not delayed as much? Just curious if there's any work happening there.
Yes. So we've seen almost a doubling in terms of improvement on time performance since last year. That is a reflection of all the work that we've done across the ecosystem together with our partner airlines.
Delayed, delayed, canceled, delayed, delayed, delayed. There's one that's on time.
And fine-tuning
only
operations
one.
With
look at this.
Carrier partners. And we see the great results that have come from that.
Yeah, the great results that have come from that. They'll tell you whatever they want to tell you. Shameful what they do, but they're shameless about it. So again, Homeland Security spokesperson Tricia McLaughlin said in a statement, rioters began blocking ICE officers, and one of these violent rioters weaponized her vehicle, attempting to run over our law enforcement officers and attempt to kill them in an act of domestic terrorism. Christy Noem added more details out of her imagination. They were stuck in the snow, which you've seen this over and over again. You know that's not the truth. Christy Noem and the White House advisor Stephen Miller also described the incident as domestic terrorism. This is the same thing that Biden did with the J6 protesters. Remember that? Yeah. One man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. One person's free speech is hate speech for the other people that is causing attacks on our beloved ICE officers. Videos of the incident taken by the bystanders show almost every aspect of McLaughlin's statement to be false. As a matter of fact, every detail of Christy Noem and every detail of Donald Trump was a full-on lie. Not stuck in snow and not run over, not taken to the hospital. She was shot from the side when he was not threatened. The vehicle appears to be driving away from the armed federal agents, not toward them. No one was run over. There is no evidence that terrorism of any kind was involved. After the shooting, federal agents then reportedly prevented a bystander who identified himself as a physician from tending to her. They're already trying to spin this as an action of self-defense, said the Minneapolis mayor. And so he is attacked because, again, he is a leftist. And most of these people who are giving you the news want to push you into one side or the other of this Hegelian dialectic.
And we have the video of the guy saying that he's a physician.
Yes, I played that yesterday. Let me play that again here. Here it is.
Can I go check a pulse?
No! Back up! Now!
I'm a physician!
Hey, I understand. We got EMS coming. I get it. Just give us a second. We have medics on scene. We have our own medics.
Where are they? Where are they?
Back up or I'm going to kill you. Christy Noem threatens to send more ICE agents to Minneapolis. She's going to double down on this. Double down on the chaos, double down on the confrontation, double down on the lies. During her press conference, Noem revealed that she's not opposed to sending in more ICE agents to Minneapolis if needed. The reporter asked her, said, in Minneapolis yesterday, you said that there was going to be a surge there. And it would continue without directly saying if we could expect a surge in civil deportation enforcement. Can you reveal what a surge is? Noam declined to answer. Said, I can't tell you. I'd put people in jeopardy, right? I mean, this is even worse than the surge in Afghanistan. That was not effective, if you remember. We had that wonderful victory in Afghanistan. I don't think so. But at least they were telling people it's going to be a surge. And she says, well, I can't tell you. Follow-up question was asked. The reporters, which prompted Noam to finally respond, well, we've got thousands of officers there, and I'm not opposed to sending more. But I can't tell you anything about the surge. Any information I give you might put agents at risk. Secret agents, secret agendas, secret deployments. We don't have any say-so in this. State governments don't have any say-so in it. Do you see the problem with this? The federalization of this, the concentration of power in Washington, everything that Trump is doing is about making government more powerful, especially the federal government. And so Nancy Mace then gets on with Maria Bartiromo. Nancy Mace has got her own hallucinations that she is talking about. She says that the ICE agent was limping. No, he wasn't, actually. When you look at it, you can see the murderer walking away. Yeah, he's limping there, right? Limping? I think he's doing just fine. Yeah, just keep lying. Mace's assertion surprised Bartiromo, who said, oh. She says, yeah, Mace had said, it appears the ICE agent was struck by the car in the first video that you just showed, and you can see him limping away as he fired shots. No, didn't happen. These people think that you're not going to believe your lying eyes. You'll believe their lying lips, right? The video shows the agent in question cautiously taking a couple of steps before seemingly walking without any trouble forward toward the van. Now, why would he take some precaution? Well, because they are standing on ice. And when you see that video before, you see that one of the guys that's away from the van and the shooting and all the rest of the stuff had fallen down on the ice. So, yeah, he's going to walk a little bit cautiously, but he's not having any problems walking. He wasn't even knocked down. That's how much of a threat this whole thing was. This is what happens.
He wasn't knocked down on the icy surface. That's how hard he was hit by the car.
Yeah, exactly. On ice. Yeah, he keeps his footing even on ice. This is what happens when you got Democrats and people on the left vilifying and dehumanizing our cops, our law enforcement, our ICE agents, says Nancy Mace, calling them Nazis and fascists. Well, this isn't rhetorical insults anymore, folks. This is literally true. They literally are Nazis and fascists. And she is part of it. It's just amazing. Doesn't even get knocked off his feet on the ice.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital. And that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated. And against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Well, when Trump was shown the video with some reporters from the New York Times in the Oval Office, he was saying that the woman who was shot ran over the ICE agent. And they said, well, no, she didn't actually, run over him. And so he says to his assistant, Natalie Harper, he says, go get the video. And they got the video and they played it there. And Trump's response was, well, the way I look at it while he's watching it, and then he finally says, well, it's a terrible scene. I think it's horrible to watch. No, I hate to see it. And he changed the subject to immigration policy.
Yep. I have his comment in his tweet on Truth Social with his voice reading it out. I can play it.
Ahead and play that, yeah.
I have just viewed the clip of the event which took place in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It is a horrible thing to watch. The woman screaming was obviously a professional agitator, and the woman driving the car was very disorderly, obstructing and resisting, who then violently, willfully, and viciously ran over the ICE officer who seems to have shot her in self-defense. Based on the attached clip, it is hard to believe he is alive, but is now recovering in the hospital. The situation is being studied in its entirety, but the reason these incidents are happening is because the radical left is threatening, assaulting, and targeting our law enforcement officers and ICE agents on a daily basis. They are just trying to do the job of making America safe. We need to stand by and protect our law enforcement officers from this radical left movement of violence and hate.
Let me tell you, the Soros is dangerous and the open borders are dangerous. So is Trump and his militarized police. And it is problem solution. This whole thing has been a Trojan horse. J.D. Vance insists that the critics are gaslighting you when it's actually the other way around. It's authoritarian gaslighting that's going on. So the video of the ICE shooting shows that he's the one that's doing the gaslighting, as a headline. J.D. Vance has described the shooting as clear self-defense, has accused critics of gaslighting. His argument requires the public to disregard what the video documents. In a post pushing back on legal criticism of the ICE agent's actions, Vance framed the encounter in absolute terms. He said the gaslighting is off the chart. It is, not in the way that he says, though. The officer was defending his life against a deranged leftist who tried to run him over. The guy was doing his job. His job is to kill us, right? These are the people, folks, that locked us down 5 years ago, that put out the bioweapon that literally killed millions of people. You're going to side with them? She tried to stop him from doing his job. So the victim was an ideological enemy. That's the reality here, right? And that's the way everybody is focused on this. And put everybody in your different ideological camps, and if you agree with them on policy, then they can do whatever they want. If you disagree with them, they deserve to die. They're subhuman. They need to be put, in the words of InfoWars, need to be put down, like one of Christine Ohm's dogs.
The other crazy thing is they say he was doing his job, but I haven't heard anyone claiming that there were any illegal aliens there that were being arrested. He was out there just issuing random orders to American citizens. Is that his job, is just to push people around? And that's why she was shot, because she didn't obey these random orders from this random guy that wasn't doing anything to arrest illegals.
Yeah, that's right. That's the dog that didn't bark, Lance. You're exactly right. Well, where are all the illegal aliens that these people are swarming around to get? That's all been lost in all of this, right? So a New York Times analysis of bystander shot video footage includes recordings from multiple angles. The footage shows federal agents approaching her Honda Pilot, attempting to open the driver's side door, ordering her to exit. As an agent pulls the door handle, here, I'll do this as I'm reading it, pulls the door handle, the vehicle reverses, then moves forward, while turning sharply to the right, away from the officer. The sequence establishes the physical reality of the encounter. The officer approaches the vehicle, the driver reverses, the car moves forward with a rightward turn. The officer then fires three shots at close range at the vehicle, on the side of the vehicle, as it is moving past him. The car continues forward and then crashes because he's just shot her point blank. The Times video analysis shows the masked ICE agent was clearly not in the path of the SUV when he fires three deadly shots. The video shows a driver attempting to leave and an officer who avoids harm by moving out of the way before firing. That sequence undermines the self-defense claim. Deadly force is justified only when it is necessary to stop an imminent threat, and no reasonable alternative exists. In this encounter, safety is achieved before the trigger is pulled. Distance already exists at the moment the officer fires. He's at the side of the car. Even Border Czar Tom Homan distanced himself from Homeland Security's initial statement blaming the victim. When pressed by the New York Times after viewing the video, Trump sidestepped any follow-up questions, a notable departure for a figure known for doubling down. Vance has treated the shooting as resolved. He has labeled Good a deranged leftist. He's described the killing as justified. He has dismissed any disagreement as dishonest. And so some people have responded to him, calling him a soulless liar. J.D. Vance is hit with fury for disturbingly un-American shooting response. Conservative author Sohrab Ahmari showed that ICE was, put up a video that he said showed ICE was in the right when an agent shot a woman in the face at point-blank range when she was trying to turn her car away from him to leave the scene. Sharing an obscured faraway angle. That's the one that I did with the slow motion thing. This one. This is the one that they always go to because this is the one that you really can't see very well what is happening with it. And so they're free to tell you what to see. And that's the reality of that. So an obscured faraway angle. And he says, okay, this angle settles it. Well, it doesn't settle it. The other ones do. You can see much better what is happening in the other angles. So Vance said, you can accept that this woman's death is a tragedy while acknowledging that it's a tragedy of her own making. Don't illegally interfere with law enforcement operations and try to run over our officers with your car. It's really just that simple, right? As Grant Snitchfield said, show us your hands, obey our commands, right? Yeah. I'd rather die on my feet than on my knees. Congressman Seth Moulton replied and said, J.D. Vance is lying. She wasn't interfering with law enforcement, and this wasn't a tragedy of her own making. Every video shows it. Blaming a murdered woman to shield federal officers is grotesque and disturbingly un-American. We will not ignore what we can see with our own eyes. Conservative strategist Tim Miller said, among the people who think assassination is the appropriate remedy for not listening to law enforcement, you can include the vice president. And then Greg Sargent said he fired several shots from the side. This is exactly what I said yesterday. He fired several shots from the side into the window at near point-blank range after he was able to get to the side of the car, and plainly not in any danger. There is no credible way to call that self-defense. There is no justification whatsoever for it. He clearly overreacted at the minimum, and blaming her for it is disgusting. Absolutely agree. That's what I said yesterday. Journalist John Harwood said, she didn't try to run him over, you repulsive, soulless liar. Adam Johnson chimed in and said, just an evil, empty man. When it benefited his career, he went on MSNBC and NPR and told rich liberals that his relatives were intractable, drug-addled hicks. When he saw the MAGA writing on the wall, 2021, he became a vessel for Peter Thiel. Now he's chief Nazi propagandist, writing in Yale-y tones. The Guardian's Robert Mackey said, they ask us to ignore video recorded at close range, and they claim a distant clip slowed down proves that she tried to, quote, run over the officer. But if you watch that video at normal speed, it shows how easily he kept his feet and how she accelerated after he shot her. Excuse me. About to sneeze here. Again, that is why police departments all over the country say don't do what he did. Well, Jonathan Turley has... has really discredited himself this week. I think first he went on dispelling any legal problems with what was being done in Venezuela. Now he is doing the same thing in Minnesota. He's become a cheerleader for the Hegelian dialectic. Absolutely discredited himself, in my opinion. And then Trump, again, going back in more detail with what happened with the New York Times reporters, they were talking to him in the Oval Office, and so Trump is saying, well, that was a vicious situation that took place. He said that she behaved horribly. She ran him over. She didn't, and he repeats that two times. When the reporters argued in return, this was not clear from the video recorded in the scene, Trump said, well, I'll play the tape for you right now. And he got his assistant, Natalie Harpe, to run the video as a slow motion footage played on a laptop beside the Resolute desk. The reporters noted again that the video did not clearly show an officer being run over. Trump said, well, the way I look at it, and at the end of the clip, Trump said, it's a terrible scene. I think it's horrible to watch. No, I hate to see it. Pressed on what he had seen, you know, so tell us, what did you see? You gonna still stand by that story? The reporter said that Trump then pivoted to attack the immigration policies of his predecessors. So the masked ICE agent executes an American woman in Minneapolis as she tries to drive away. This is a Free Thought Project. They get it as well. That's exactly what happened. That should not be a capital offense, to not obey the orders from the police. You can look them in the eye. They're not your masters. The Trump administration took over the probe now into the ICE-involved shooting. So what are they concerned about? They don't want there to be an investigation? The federal government has now taken over the probe of misconduct by a federal officer. Yeah, you can forget about the 10th Amendment, I guess, right? Trump is really grinding that into a pulp. So it's going to be another cover-up, just like the Epstein stuff. The DOJ has initially wanted a joint probe of the incident with the BCA, that is the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension in Minnesota. But then it reversed course, said the BCA, and it signaled that it would now be led solely by the FBI, by Corrupt Cash Patel. Corrupt Cash. Without complete access to the evidence, witness, and information collected, we cannot meet the investigative standards that Minnesota law and the public demands, they said. As a result, the BCA has reluctantly withdrawn from the investigation. The FBI's Minneapolis field office and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Minnesota did not respond to the Daily Caller, who was asking for comments about why they are shutting down any investigation except by the corrupt FBI.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at Compassion.com. That's Compassion.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Meanwhile, Homan has blamed hateful rhetoric. You know what that is. That's hate speech, right? So the left calls it hate speech. The right calls it hateful rhetoric. We've already seen Pam Bondi say, well, there's speech and there's hate speech, and we're not going to allow you to have hate speech. And we all know what that is about. Same tactics as the left. These people are the mirror image of the left.
Yeah, shockingly similar. Would you think this was talking about the right in any other context? It's hateful rhetoric is to blame for this violence, according to the SAR that we've got here.
That's right. Our officers have a right to self-defense. Well, of course they do. And he was not in any danger at the time that he killed her. I guess the question is, who defends Americans from the police? Who defends us from the federal government? Evidently not any state government anywhere. Not even their hardcore, hard left opponents aren't going to stand up to this. They're going to back down. Who watches the watchers? That's always been the question, right? Now, if you watch the watchers, that's labeled terrorism. You are a domestic terrorist if you watch the watchers. Don't question anything they do. Well, corrupt Kash Patel says the FBI is going to investigate organizers and funders of anti-ICE protests for impeding law enforcement. So what they're going to do is they're going to investigate their political opponents, not the murdering masked cops. So, again, you've got a lot of former FBI and Border Patrol agents saying the shooting is likely to be ruled justified. Of course they will. The Blue Club sticks together. As a matter of fact, they've got their own Bill of Rights. Did you know that? The police unions are very, very powerful. And they have their own Bill of Rights, which is much more powerful and actually even enforced, unlike the Bill of Rights that we have, that they're the ones who are attacking. So, again, they actually enforce that one. To protect themselves, but not you. And this all, we're going to take a break and we come back. We're going to talk about how this is really a microcosm on a domestic level of what Trump is doing internationally. It's bullying, it's intimidation, just like that cop who kicked through the memorial to the woman that was there. Regardless of whether you agree with her policies or whatever, you can see what the guy is doing. He is clearly trying to provoke the guy into pushing him back. Let me just play that again because it really makes my blood boil and it should make you angry about it as well. There he is. He's going through the memorial, just kicking it, deliberately trying to provoke.
Do you know what that is for? What is that for? What is that for? What is that for?
You're a fat schoolyard bully. People like that make me sick. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break. These same attitudes that we're seeing domestically are what is happening internationally. And you got people like Stephen Miller to blame for it, along with Trump. Trump certainly is on board with that 100%. We'll be right back, folks.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
David Knight Show.
I once supported regime change in Iraq, and that's why Venezuela worries me. This is an article from Reason. The writer is Phil Clay. He says, as one government official after another talks about regime change and removal of an awful dictator in Venezuela, you can forgive Iraq War veterans like me for being nervous. When I contemplated joining the Marine Corps in 2002, I found a similar humanitarian case for war to be compelling. The Iraqi people were suffering under a brutal dictator, and even in the worst-case scenario, removing him would be a net good. What followed was civil war, mass death, swelling ranks of terror groups, genocide, mass rape, and slavery. 17 years after I had that calming thought about removing a dictator, I spoke with a woman in northern Iraq who had been enslaved by ISIS. I was on a UN trip to northern Iraq. She told me a group of foreign policy analysts and how ISIS had slaughtered the people of her town, how they had taken young girls, including her and her 13-year-old sister, into slavery. After the collapse of the terror state, ISIS-affiliated families, like the one she'd been sold to, were herded into the sprawling Al-Hol refugee camp in Syria, trapping victims and slavers together. A Yazidi smuggling operation found her and smuggled her out, but her sister was still there. The man who ran the smuggling operation told us that there were many survivors enslaved in these camps. 3 years after we spoke in 2022, a security operation would find 6 girls chained up there, subject to rape and torture, 8 years after they'd been captured. Why are we not having enough attention from your side, he asked. We have a high number of survivors, people in mass graves. Why don't we have assistance? But the news of the genocide was years old at that point, and Americans were tired of the endless horrors of the Iraq War. They were tired of the human wreckage. It was as uninteresting to us as our responsibility for what had happened in the first place. I honestly have no idea what might happen in Venezuela. though the current crackdown by the regime, with journalists jailed and counterintelligence scouring people's social media accounts, is an ominous early sign. I have long studied the region. I've written about the violence and the drug trade along the border with Colombia, but I couldn't even begin to speculate about all the ways that this could go haywire. Those who are spiking the football should remember that when we use our military and we roll the dice with the fate of nations, the consequences play out in a much longer time frame than social media trends. As a matter of fact, when you look at this and think about what we know about ISIS and about Syria and about the fact that we were arming ISIS and that we now congratulate, Trump congratulates the ISIS head of Syria now, and the fact that this organization that's taken over Syria is executing Christians there. Just think about that. You know, from the very beginning of this, ISIS has been our tool. Whether it was Mujahideen, that was obviously our tool. We admitted that. But then Al-Qaeda was the same organization, but supposedly they were not our tool at that point. But they were. They were the tool of the CIA. They were the boogeyman. So they've been the hero, the ally, the boogeyman, the monster. It's whatever the CIA needs them to be. And this is, ought to give you pause to think about this. When you launch military action in an unstable part of the world, long beset by violence, there really isn't a bottom to how bad things can get, he says. Rather than offering a serious plan for a stable future, we are already threatening other countries. Trump has revived talk about taking Greenland from our NATO ally Denmark. When asked about possible military action in Colombia, another long-term ally, and one whose assistance would be an essential part of any serious policy in the region, the president said, "Sounds good to me." So American power in the wake of World War II was remarkably cost-effective because it rested heavily on agreed-upon rules and consensual participation. There was no dominant power that's ever had so much assistance from others in maintaining its dominance. If the only substitute the Trump administration has for getting willing cooperation from our allies is cooperation at the barrel of a gun, America will rapidly become a much diminished thing. Not just weaker, but also contemptible. And it is contemptible what Trump is doing. But it isn't even the potential downsides to Venezuela and the surrounding countries that worry me so much as what our president, high on the success of a brilliant military operation, might do next. In the first year back in office, we've already struck Iran and Venezuela without even trying to go through Congress or establish democratic support for the war. The most dangerous and morally consequential thing a country can do, and which for precisely that reason our founders made the responsibility of the legislature. If you continue to allow an unrestrained president to initiate acts of war against other countries without debate, without authorization, how long before the whims of one irresponsible man leads to genuine disaster? And that's the reality. That's the reality domestically and internationally. And then when we look at the reactions that are in other countries, RT has a comment from Rafael Correa, who is the former president of Ecuador. He says the abduction of Maduro set a disastrous precedent that can throw the world back into barbarism. The hypothetical, the hypocritical international reaction has allowed the U.S. to get away with actions that are, quote, impossible to accept, he says. He said, imagine for a moment that Putin captured Zelensky, he said. Can you imagine what the world's response would be? Nothing at all like the response the U.S. is getting. International reaction to the abduction has demonstrated nothing but global hypocrisy and double standards so far. This unprecedented, extraordinary event deserves a much stronger response from the international community, said Carrera. What they're saying is, either you do what I say, or I'll bomb you again. In other words, hands up obey your commands, right? This is the Trump government and the American government in a nutshell. It is life at the point of a barrel of a gun. So Carrera said it is something extremely dangerous for the entire planet, not just for Venezuela, but for Latin America as well. And then in Russia, you got a lot of people, as this guy says, imagine if Putin had captured Zelensky. And so you got a lot of Russians who are saying, yeah, why hasn't Putin captured Zelensky at this point in time? Especially people like Alexander Dugin. He's saying, you need to go get him. And of course, his daughter was assassinated by Ukrainian intelligence, thinking that they were killing him. Chinese social media explodes. U.S. invasion of Venezuela is a template for our move on Taiwan. Chinese Weibo users are complaining that if Washington can quickly invade and remove the leader of a nuisance government in its own backyard, then China can forcibly reunite Taiwan, of course, right? This is, I guess we could call this the domino theory of bad precedents from a bad president. There is a growing number of pro-Kremlin figures and Russian military bloggers now saying that something very parallel but related to Ukraine. They're upset that Russia has dragged its feet and directly moving against Zelensky in Kiev. And they want more muscular direct action against the illegitimate leader, as Putin has frequently called him, or at least his top officials. Isn't that interesting? Everybody uses that phrase, the illegitimate leader. I don't think that, I don't like anything that Zelensky does. I wouldn't call him an illegitimate leader. I mean, he is, the guy who is in charge there, whether you like him or not. That doesn't make him illegitimate just because you don't like him. Among the most prominent Russian figures to draw this parallel, of course, is Alexander Dugin, as I said. He is saying that the fast-moving events in Venezuela are a critical and urgent challenge for Russia to do the same. So the capture of Maduro demonstrates that international law no longer exists. Only the law of force applies. And that's not just Alexander Dugin. I mean, that's what Stephen Miller is proudly saying. You know, he said that, we're going to be ruled by force. The law of the jungle is back. And get ready for a global war, because that's what Trump and the agents of chaos want to do. So the war in Ukraine must under no circumstances be stopped, not before victory is achieved, says Alexander Dugin. He said, look at Venezuela. If we don't destroy them now, they will destroy us tomorrow. Yeah, this is always the logic of preemptive attacks. So the Japanese said about Pearl Harbor. That's what we always say when we want to preemptively attack somebody. If necessary, we have to be prepared to fight the United States as well. We may not be able to conquer them, but we will be able to defend ourselves. Again, this is, so he's saying you've got to wipe out these people right now. You heard the same kind of thing from warmongers for Israel, saying, we've got to stop mowing the lawn. These people just keep growing back. We've got to kill them all, right? This is where this all leads. You say the government in this other country is illegitimate, it's corrupt, and, of course, we're the good guys wearing white hats, right? And we need to go take them out. And then you become the monster that you fight. Starshietti, a pro-war Telegram channel with about 600,000 followers, also heaped ample criticism on how Moscow leadership has executed the special military operation, they call it, saying it should be more efficient, should be moving against top Ukrainian officials. Clearly, no one is tasking the military with abducting Zelensky. He is of far greater use where he is in his current role rather than in prison in Moscow. But that said, there are many lower-ranking figures whose elimination would bring prestige and acclaim. So what they're saying is that Zelensky is so obviously corrupt that we should leave him there. He's inept and he's corrupt, so we should leave him there because he's going to be much more use than if we put him in prison in Russia. So another pundit said, if you launch the next special military operation without removing the military and political leadership, and with the naive ideas of brotherly nations in your head, your idiots and your descendants will curse you. And so they make the point that when you look at Zelensky, he has banned opposition media, he's banned churches, he's banned opposition parties, he's banned the right to collectively bargain, he has killed his own countrymen on behalf of NATO. He runs one of the most corrupt governments in the world. Many people say the most corrupt. He overthrows elections. And he's everything that they tell us that Nicolas Maduro is. So as for the potential fallout from Trump's Venezuelan intervention, countries like Iran will likely see a greater incentive for a secret nuclear weapons or other weapons of mass destruction programs. Others will surely beef up their anti-air capabilities, especially if Washington has called them a rogue state.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Well, Tulsi Gabbard has been missing in action in the Venezuela operation, as the Washington Post points out. She has been on record opposing regime change, opposing the Iraq War. And as recently as 2 months ago, she was opposing regime change. And she's been noticeably absent in all of this stuff, and the Washington Post noticed that. Trump's top national security advisors in recent days have outdone one another to publicly extol his bold decision to launch the risky military raid that captured Nicolas Maduro. But one key figure that's been largely absent from public view is Tulsi Gabbard. So the question is she ashamed to be associated with what she knows is wrong, what she knows is wrong and what she's said is wrong for many years? Or is she afraid to talk about it because she's afraid she'll lose her job? Well, she's not doing her job. What she's doing is she's keeping the job so she can collect the perks of the job. She's no better than Cash Patel. Gabbard, an Iraq war veteran, who for years has spoken out against costly U.S. interventions abroad, waited more than 3 days before commenting publicly about Operation Absolute Resolve. Her usually busy feeds on X, where she maintains official and personal accounts, were abnormally quiet until she issued a terse statement Tuesday afternoon, after this happened on Saturday. She's been missing in action from Fox News and other conservative broadcasts, where she's been a frequent guest, championing Trump's priorities and excoriating his perceived enemies in a way that previous intelligence chiefs avoided. So the statement she put out said, President Trump promised the American people he would secure our borders, confront narco-terrorism, and dangerous drug cartels and drug traffickers. Kudos to our servicemen and women and intelligence operators for their flawless execution of President Trump's order to deliver on his promise through Operation Absolute Resolve. So here she is praising what she has always condemned. Gabbard's comments in support of the operation diverge sharply from everything that she's said for the last 7 years, even 2 months ago. She played little role in the planning and execution of this complex raid on Friday night. As a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting that the CIA took such a public upfront position, and yet the Director of National Intelligence had nothing to do with it, right? The core team comprised Stephen Miller, Marco Rubio, Pete Hegseth, and CIA Director John Ratcliffe, the Marco terrorists, right? A spokesperson for Gabbard, responding to multiple emails requesting comment on her position on Trump's Venezuelan intervention and her role in it, pointed to her ex-post on Tuesday. On New Year's Day, as U.S. military special operations were anxiously waiting for the weather to clear, she posted on her personal X account pictures of herself doing yoga on a beach, apparently in her home state of Hawaii. She said, "My heart is filled with gratitude, aloha, and peace," adding a prayer hands emoji to it. Seems pretty obvious that she's not a part of this Maduro mission, and she's not been a part of the inner circle for some time, if ever, said a former U.S. intelligence officer. As Director of National Intelligence, she has focused on going after perceived political enemies that are not sufficiently loyal to Trump. In August, she publicly revoked the security clearances of 17 former and current U.S. officials. In a separate move, she fired the top two officials of the prestigious National Intelligence Council in May.
It's 37 of the former and current officials that...
What did I say?
You said 17. You must have had
something
scribbled on top of it.
Thank you. As Congresswoman, she decried Trump's decision to assassinate Soleimani, head of the Iran Quds Force and covert action arm of Iran's powerful Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. She was against assassination. She also criticized Trump's 2018 Syria policy. Gabbard called Trump's policy a betrayal of the American people that would benefit terrorists. But now we have, and this is one of the reasons that she was put in, because she was very popular with Trump's voting base. And yet now he has gone in exactly the opposite direction. Now he's got ISIS in the Oval Office, even as the Syrian regime is executing Christians and other ethnic groups in Syria after we helped them get in power. So, again, he honored that terrorist in the Oval Office. She was broadly criticized in 2017 for her visit to Syria, in which she met with Assad, whose regime was accused of gross human rights atrocities. Gabbard later declared that Assad is, quote, not the enemy of the U.S., but the U.S. was the enemy of Assad for oil reasons as well. And again, if you go back to 2017, when I was at InfoWars, we were pushing really hard against involvement in that war. How things have changed. Now Alex Jones is a cheerleader for war. He's a cheerleader for the police state after doing documentary after documentary about the police state in opposition to it. Now he is cheering it, making excuses for it. And now you have Assad gone, and the guy who replaced him is eradicating Christian communities that have been there for thousands of years. This is American foreign policy under Trump. In March, Gabbard had testified to Congress reflecting the intelligence community's assessment at the time that Iran was not building a nuclear weapon, but the pressure on Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei to do so was growing. Asked about the assertion in June, Trump said that Gabbard was wrong. He says, "I don't care what she says. What matters to him is what Netanyahu says, what Israel says. They're the ones who own him." So the bottom line is there aren't any good outcomes that are going to come out of Trump's regime change in Venezuela. Marco Rubio came out and clarified the administration did not consider this to be an act of war or a military operation, but rather a law enforcement endeavor. So no wonder they support law enforcement shooting people in the streets, right? That's what law enforcement looks like to them. We shoot first and don't ask any questions. You know, whether it's people in boats or people in cars, just shoot them. The soundness of that legal distinction aside, at a press conference the day after the operation, Trump said that in the aftermath of Maduro's capture, that the U.S. government would now run Venezuela, suggesting geopolitical motivations that go beyond a simple execution of an arrest warrant. And think about that. You're now going to run it? Because why? Because you took out the head of state, so you admit that he's the head of state. And then you say, yeah, but he was corrupt. He overthrew their elections. But the Trump administration is not going to put the people that they said won the election, they're not going to put them in place, and Trump is not going to allow elections to be taken, to take place. How's he any different from Zelensky? He is the one who is now the corruption, the
it's
operation. Yeah.
The hype of Orwellianism that they can then turn around and say that this isn't regime change.
Yeah.
Yes, the regimes have changed, but it's not regime change. Yes, we're putting in our own choice of who we want to rule it, but we haven't changed anything.
Yeah, it is Orwellian gaslighting, isn't it? That's exactly what it is. So it's the culmination of a long pressure campaign by a coalition of industry and ideological interest groups who wanted Washington to carry out a regime change in Venezuela for a lot of different reasons. The coalition includes energy companies that want to protect and, to better yet, expand their access to oil deposits in the region and to have taxpayers help them to make up for losses that they suffered when Venezuela nationalized its oil supply. And so he's going to, this is this kind of circular corruption that we see happening over and over again. Massive amounts of federal money, and these people then do their kickbacks to Trump in various ways. Just because the Trump administration successfully orchestrated the capture of Maduro doesn't mean that they have succeeded in carrying out regime change, by the way. It's a real risk that it could devolve into the exact kind of forever war that Trump and his cabinet have been so dismissive of these last couple of days. Once you start trying to extract the oil, as I said, it's a very dangerous situation. Those are very vulnerable targets. And, you know, once you ignite a fire in one of those oil wells, it is really difficult to get it out. It's very easy to start it, very difficult to stop it. And so Mises.org says the primary factor at the core of so many of our societal problems, including most that Trump himself ran on, the primary factor at the core of the problems is the attempt by the American political class to maintain a global empire with all of the economic, moral, security, and cultural decay that that empire will bring. And so is the constant drive towards war. The abandonment of basic moral norms to bolster military dominance, the almost unhuman tendency to see mass violence not as a horror that should only ever be pursued as an absolute last resort, but as a lucrative way to enrich related industries and to grab more and more control over domestic and foreign populations and to prop up any foreign group or country that is willing to pay enough. That is the bankruptcy of empire. That is the bankruptcy of the American federal government. In the wake of horrifying wars like Vietnam, you don't get the 2003 invasion of Iraq or the 20-year...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Quagmire in Afghanistan without quick wins, like Reagan's invasion of Grenada, or Bush Sr.'s regime change in Panama, or the dominant victory over Iraq in 1991, which Bush celebrated for having, quote, kicked the Vietnam syndrome once and for all, right? That's what he thought it did. There's another risk of Trump's intervention in Venezuela. Even if it goes well, and the region stabilizes in some way that Washington, D.C. prefers without requiring an abnormal amount of tax dollars, that seemingly positive outcome could be used to mislead more voters, commentators, and politicians into thinking that regime change and nation building are actually safe and worthwhile policies after all. So it is a lose-lose situation, folks. It's really a bad situation if it goes bad, as all of these wars have, but it's also going to be a bad situation if it goes well, because they will be emboldened to do this. And this guy says, by no means, this is a reason to hope. This is not a reason to hope for a disastrous war. Nobody wants that. But even if they win, we lose. Because if they win, they'll do it again, just like they won with COVID, and they're going to do COVID again. So, and it's not just the USA, but it's also Russia and China that are being emboldened by these types of actions. If we're somehow able to navigate this precarious moment without another endless war breaking out, it is imperative that we prevent a good outcome from being used to push us even further down this terrible path that we so desperately need to get off of. That's absolutely right. That's the Mises people talking about that. So as Trump wants to talk about this corrupt regime, and how he's not a legitimate president there because he overthrew the elections. But we're not going to put the people that we said won. And Trump has ruled out elections in Venezuela. And he's anticipating sending troops to occupy it. Yeah. He is eviscerating his own rationale for rejecting Maduro as leader. Maduro is gone, but the repression in Venezuela has intensified, as I've talked about a couple of days ago. You've got the motorcycle gangs of colectivos that are going around, searching for any political opposition that is there. They've already kicked off something of a civil war. And the person that he wants to put in charge is actually the political ally of Maduro. This woman, it was 50 years ago that her father, who was a Marxist, was killed by American forces. And so you have to ask yourself, whose side is she really on? Either way, she's under duress. She's under duress from the Maduro people, from the colectivos, and she's also under duress from Trump. You do what I say or else. So the Justice Department is walking back a claim that Maduro is the leader of the narco-terrorist cartel. As I pointed out, when the indictment came out, the one that they put out in March of 2020, they had listed the Cartel of the Suns 30 times. And referred to it as an organized, formal structure that was there. In this new indictment, they've only mentioned that name twice. And in both of those cases, it's put out there vaguely as an idea. But I played for you the fact that these generals, which is what they're calling the high-ranking generals, which is what they're calling the Cartel of the Suns, was working with the CIA going back into the 1980s. That was 60 Minutes, when 60 Minutes actually did reports. They uncovered that. So the Trump administration can't get its Venezuelan story straight. And that's a big red flag, just like it was with Hillary Clinton and Benghazi. The United States just invaded a sovereign nation and can't coherently or consistently explain why. The absence of a clear purpose is already undermining the operation itself, leaving the people of Venezuela under confused governance and incoherent occupation. Each explanation carries a different implication for authority, for duration, for responsibility. Together, they show senior officials talking past one another about the meaning of the same act of force. A law enforcement action, if that's what it is, would imply a very narrow scope. A national security intervention would imply an external threat. Economic stabilization and energy strategy would imply sustained material interests. Transitional governance implies responsibility for outcomes. Control over another nation's oil revenues implies practical authority over its wealth and its infrastructure. Each of these different explanations carries distinct legal, moral, and strategic consequences. If you put them together, they don't clarify purpose, they obscure it. In other words, we've got all these different, like I said, it is very much like Hillary and Benghazi. You know, every few hours she had another reason for it happening. And these people have all these different reasons which just don't add up. They contradict with each other. The breakdown is especially striking given what this administration has proven it can do. The second Trump term has been defined by remarkable communications discipline under Susie Wiles, Stephen Chung, and Caroline Leavitt. Messaging has been centralized. Talking points have been reinforced. The improvisational chaos of the first term has been replaced by carefully controlled strategy. Venezuela represents, however, the collapse of that system at the precise moment that precision matters the most. Foreign policy depends on clarity. Remote power projection runs on story. Without troops holding territory or administrators managing institutions, the U.S. controls Venezuela only insofar as others believe that it does. Allies are watching the U.S. claim authority that it cannot define. This is how missions unravel before outcomes are measured. Authority dissolves into confusion. Deterrence gives way to uncertainty. Incoherence compounds into failure. The administration still has time to consolidate its position. It can define a clear objective. It can state what the U.S. acted, or why the U.S. acted, and it can align senior leadership behind that explanation. But that remains undone. Even if it were to do all that, you still have the legal and the moral issues that are there. And I think, you know, when you look at what is going on in the last week, you know, from the kidnapping of Maduro on Saturday to the execution of this woman in Minneapolis by the police and the Trump administration doubling down on it. What bothers me even more than the lies of the Trump administration is the fact that the public is so, the MAGA people are just so enthralled with all this stuff, so defensive about it. Just like that woman who wrote me. Well, that's it. I'm going to go listen to Alex Jones. Yeah, go listen to Alex Jones. He'll cheer war. He'll cheer the police state now. He'll tell you whatever you want to hear so that you can feel good about supporting Trump. You don't want to hear that Trump is taking us in the wrong direction, do you? You don't want to do anything about that, do you? You want to feel good about all that and just sit back and be passive. Well, that's where you should turn. The ugly truth is that many Americans love war. Yeah, this is the op-ed piece from Free Thought Project, and they're absolutely right. Actually, originally came from anti-war. Americans have short-term memory when it comes to our nation's warmongering, but when consequences are felt and casualties mount, the enthusiasm quickly wanes. Unless you're looking at somebody that they don't like, and then they're more than happy to see that person killed domestically. And so what they point out is that as soon as Trump did this, within hours, social media feeds were filled with profile pictures draped in the stars and stripes and statements like FAFO. The mission's execution, the talk of restoring democracy, tapped a familiar chord in American psyche. The reactions to this raid highlight an ugly truth about the United States. Americans love war. They don't like higher taxes. They don't like the debased currency or the flag-draped coffins that are all produced by the war. But they love war itself. Just like they don't love the vaccine, but they love Trump, who gave it to them, who gave them the lockdowns, the masks, who bribed people for it. That's the disconnect that is just maddening to look at. Don't be a part of that. Have a good weekend. Thank you for joining us.
Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Oh, 5 a.m. run? Really? All right.
If running shoes could talk, they'd have a lot to say.
Puddle, puddle, puddle! Oh, why would you aim for it? Oh, a double knot. Someone's feeling fast today. Instead of a marathon, maybe a beer run next time.
If shoes could talk, they'd also tell you to shop Academy Sports and Outdoors for top running brands like Nike, Brooks, Asics, and Adidas. Academy. Fun can't lose.